Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about your life, we talk about your money, talk about those good things that we do with money, some of the bad things that we're doing with money, and those just not so brilliant decisions. This is your call. We want to hear from you, so give us a call at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And if you're looking for a plan for your money in 2016, look no further than Financial Peace University. Stay tuned for more information on how you can help others in your church and your neighborhoods get their money in order, too. First on the line today, from Cincinnati, Ohio, this is Regine. Did I pronounce that right, or is it Regine?
Yes, it is Regine.
All right. Well, it's the second time's a charm, I guess. How can I serve you?
Okay, I have a question. I have a company that contacted me. I'm back 5 house payments, and they have offered me to, at the present with my mortgage company, I'm paying 7.5 rate, and they said that they can get my rate down below 3, and then they can cut my house payment. They said the house payment would go down to like $1,100 and something, and that would include my taxes and insurance. It is going to cost a fee. They have only talked to me so far. They didn't say how much it's going to cost me to use their services, but it just sounds too good to be true. Because they said that, you know, with my house payment being cut in half, it's just hard to believe that that could happen. And they said that it's a government program called HAMP.
Okay. You want to weigh, just do a cost analysis of what this is going to save you, because I think it's just, there is some, small print that you're going to have to look into. There will be a cost for this. So I typically don't like folks to make a decision just because they're going to have lower payments, but I am okay with them having a lower rate. So if this is going to significantly lower your rate, because 7.5 is very high right now, if it's going to lower your rate to something a little bit more reasonable in comparison with what is out there. And it's going to, how much is the total of your mortgage? What's owed?
$196, plus also I have a home equity loan of $47.
Okay, so $243. And if you were to sell that house, would you walk away with any equity?
They said the value of it is $300,000. It was just recently appraised by a drive-by appraisal.
Yeah.
The mortgage company that I'm with now, I tried to do a loan modification, and I was turned down for it. They said I didn't meet the terms of it to be able to do it.
Yeah. What is your current income?
$42,000 a year. And my husband, he hasn't been working. He just started a job just a couple weeks ago.
Okay. And then what would that add to your household income?
Well, right now he's just $11 an hour, so... But if he gets, because he went through a temp service, if he gets hired in, it'll go up to $16.50 an hour.
Okay. And what is your current mortgage payment?
$2,080, and that's with taxes and insurance.
Yeah. So you just got too much.
You
have too much house and too much payment. So,
right.
I like you looking into this, even if it's going to cost you a little bit. First of all, number one, I want you to sell the house because I think you got too much house for your income. Even with him working, you got too much house. And if you can sell it for $300, you can get out of this thing and relieve that burden and go find a house where the payment is where it's supposed to be, because your payment shouldn't be any more than 25% of your take-home pay. That's with taxes and insurance.
I want to try to keep it out of foreclosure, but my bank's not really working with me because I tried to make two payments, and they said the only way they would take two payments is if I could agree the 2 weeks later to make two more.
Uh-huh.
And then my home preservation specialist advised me not to make the payments because he said he really thought my loan modification would go through. So I had listened to his advice, and then my December 1st payment hit. Now it's 5 payments. Now they won't talk to me at all unless I make all 5.
Yeah. So, for me,
and then when they turn it over to an attorney, I'm going to have all these fees to get it out of foreclosure.
Yeah, Regine, they can't tell you can sell your house or not sell your house. So on the selling part, that's what I really want you to do. But if you're not going to do that, you really do need to look into some kind of loan modification you need to get that payment down to less than 25% of your household income. So if they're going to either work with you and do it, or they're not, but that's what you're going to send in. So send in whatever you can.
Then I contact my mortgage company, and they said they've tried every program there was to get me through and couldn't get me through on any of them.
Yeah, Regine, the more you tell me about this and the more details I get, I really feel that you need to sell this house. You had too much house for your income. And here's the deal. They can't keep you from selling it. Now, granted, it's going to hurt your bottom line.
They did tell me that I can sell it. Because I told them, I said, I don't want to lose it to foreclosure. I'd rather just put it on the market, sell it, and try to walk away with some money. Because I believe I have equity there also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, your bottom line is going to be hurt. Here's the deal. They want it sold just as bad as you do. Because they want to get their money. Right now, you're not showing a whole lot of promise of them getting their money. They can get all their money. So they want it sold. So sell it. I think it's a blessing from God that there's enough equity in this thing that you can get out of it. You owe $243-ish, and you might be able to get $300 out of it. And after all your fees, I mean, I think it's a blessing that you can get out of this. I'd get out of it while you can, but it's too much house. Way too much house.
Right.
Even if you get this new program, you're still going to be on it. You're going to have a horrible mortgage. It's going to be replacing a bad mortgage with another bad one. All the other terms are going to stink. You know, my recommendation is that you sell the house. Of course, we've got ELPs at stewardship.com, endorsed local providers, and we've got the best real estate brokers in your area, and they are more than willing to help you out on this situation. But get less house and sleep better at night. Well, again, you can call in at 866-357-3283. We're talking all about stewardship. And John is calling in from Pennsylvania. John, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir? Thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question. My wife and I, we started the financial peace process about 3 months ago. And at that time, I asked her if she'd be willing to consider going back to work. She was a stay-at-home mom, and the kids had just hit, all of them are finally in school now, with the littlest being in preschool. And she did. And, the income for her has significantly helped us in paying towards our debt. We're in baby step two. And after about 3 months now, you know, she just has a little bit of a struggle with, you know, being at work after being a stay-at-home mom. And I'm just wondering if we should continue to work on paying our debts, or should I support her, you know, with the struggle that she's having, the mental part of actually being at work and no longer being a stay-at-home mom. Should I support her? Maybe should we make the sacrifice and have her not work versus work?
Hmm. What is some of the, you know, more challenging? This is obviously creating some issues at home, some tension. What does this look like? Like, what are some of these tensions?
I think the tension is just the toughest part of her not being a stay-at-home mom. You know, we're trying to make the sacrifice of paying off the bills sooner. And with her working, we can put her entire salary towards the bills.
Yeah.
You know, so we can get it paid off in about 2.5 to 3 years. But the challenging part for her is just the struggle of, you know, actually being back at work after being a stay-at-home mom. In my eyes, I'm excited about it because, you know, I'd love to have the bills paid off in that 2.5 to 3 year time frame, versus if she didn't work, it's going to take us, you know, three times longer probably to do so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I just struggle with seeing her, you know, sad that she's not being a stay at home mom.
But we got to decide whether that's a social guilt, if it's a social pressure that she has, or if it's a real wiring. If her calling and her wiring is to be at home, or if it's social pressure from in-laws or from other siblings or from coworkers, well, obviously it wouldn't be from coworkers, but from friends that are making her feel that pressure, because there's nothing biblical about staying at home or not staying at home. There's nothing about that, you know, one way you're being a good mom and the other one you're not being a good mom. How much debt are we talking about?
Together, we have about $110,000. and most of that is student loans. It's all student loans except for our car note. And the car note itself, with her working, we should be able to have that paid off, by this time, by summer of next year. So my salary is, $67,000, and hers is $42,000. And obviously that $42,000 is just extra for us right now.
Without
her salary, I have an extra $500 a month in the budget. So an extra $500 versus an extra $42,000, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long is she going to have to do this? You said 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years max. Okay. So, my thought process is, trying to tell her, well, it would only be 3 years, but just that struggle for her. And I feel bad that she feels bad about not being at home. And I think it is more of a calling thing more than anybody pressuring her.
Okay.
That's just what she enjoys, is being with the kids. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy having her at home. But
yeah.
I also know we have to make a sacrifice and get these bills paid off as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I definitely understand the wrestle. And I was asking you questions about what the challenges are, because if the challenge is at home, she's feeling like she's having to come immediately home and clean and do laundry and make the meals. And on top of working, I didn't hear a whole lot of that, but I'm sure that's some of it.
Yeah.
What I would recommend, because my wife has been a working mom outside the home and inside the home during different seasons. And what we've decided is to meet in the middle, and she works outside the home. However, we pay for some services that can help at home.
Mm.
For instance, we have some folks that can go out and grab a few things of groceries. We have a house cleaner. Some people that can come over and help with meal prep.
Okay.
You've got to make sure that it makes sense for the income she's making, that it makes sense to make, those are more expenses.
Right.
But if you think of it, you're meeting in the middle, so you're taking some weight off of her so that when she is home, she's all in.
Right.
When she's home, she's focusing in on the kids and not focusing on things to feed to the kids, which is a big difference.
We don't have a daycare expense because when the kids aren't in school and we're not home, they stay with their grandmother and grandfather, who have been nice enough to take on the responsibility. We made sure that they were okay with helping us before she went back to work, because obviously a daycare expense would have been too much. So
yeah,
that has helped us. So we might have a little bit of leeway for something like that.
Yeah, I don't know this is true for everybody, but for our home, we feel like we're both better parents doing it this way. Because they're going to school anyway, and when we come home, we are all in. Like, when we come home, we're like, immediately both of us can get on the floor and play with the kids because some of those things are taken care of.
Okay.
So it is an expense. So let's say she's making $42,000 and you spend $12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're still $32,000 ahead on getting rid of this debt,
right,
per year than you would have been.
Okay.
So I think if you met in the middle and then analyze that for 3 months and see how she feels,
okay,
but that might give her the 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon and get her fill of the connection with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she stays at home during the day and they're at school anyway,
mm-hmm,
that's not really helping anything. She's not having time,
right,
with the kids. So anyway, just evaluate that. Every woman's different, but that's worked for us.
Sure. Okay. Well, yeah, I appreciate your time. I even thought about maybe even letting her talk to somebody, just like a counselor or something, to kind of work through the process as well. So
yeah, she just needs to make sure that she knows that the Bible doesn't say that either one of them is right or wrong. I don't want her to feel some kind of biblical guilt or pressure that she's not in the home, because that's not from God.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John. Folks, you can call in or you can email in. This email comes in from Leland. He says, "Good afternoon, Chris. First of all, thank you for serving. I currently subscribe to your daily podcast and listen on my commute daily. I'm currently reading Dave's book, The Legacy Journey, and had a quick question. With all of the verses that are in the Bible for us to turn to and follow when it comes to money, how would you interpret and explain Matthew 6:19? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Thank you in advance for your time." And the key word here in this verse is treasure. It's about your why. Do not store up yourself treasures on earth. So let's just say you get a lump sum of $20,000, and you have $20,000 in your account. If that is your treasure, that's where your heart is that's where you're all wrapped up, your identity's in that would be a treasure. But here's the key. It all goes back to your why. It's why this whole show is managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. If we're using a tool, money, to bring glory to God's name, our real treasure, our treasure is bringing glory to God's name, not the actual money and not just tangible things. So that's the big thing. It's all about the heart. Where is your heart? And may all of our hearts here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship, those of you listening all over the world, be aimed towards eternal things here in 2016. And as you start dreaming for your 2016, you have to be in the right spot financially to accomplish all those dreams that you have. This is your year to get control. You can wander into debt, but you can't wander out. You need a plan, and that plan is Financial Peace University. Maybe you're ready to sign up for Financial Peace University. You've been listening to the show, and you know that you need to get in the class, but you keep putting it off. Now is the time. Don't wrestle with it any longer. No matter where you're at in your financial journey, 2016 is the year to get your finances in order. Go to stewardship.com to enroll in a class today.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
You know, you can call in and you can obviously email in. The number again is 866-357-3283. 83, and on the line we have Amber, and Amber's calling in from Panama City, Florida. Amber, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question about home ownership and just buying a house. My husband's in the military. We live in Florida right now. We're looking to move, and our next base should be stationed there about 4 to 6 years. So we're looking to buy our first home. We have our 20% to put down, and we're debt free as of last month. So we're just looking for an opinion on buying in the military and how you guys feel about that.
4 to 6 years is kind of a longer stint, I think. I'm not super familiar, but
yes.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, longer than what I've known folks who've experienced. Now, when they say 4 to 6 years, do they usually stay true to what they said, or does it usually change?
This is our first real experience with moving, so we're not really sure if they're going to stay true. We do know a few stories where people have gotten there and stayed for 2 weeks and been told they're moving somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Which one of you is itching?
both of us.
Okay.
I'm more reluctant to not make a mistake. We bought a small home. It was a small, very small loan. It was a trailer. Recently, we sold our house in 5 days, and I'm just like, I don't know if we'll get the same luck twice, and I don't want to get bitten.
Yeah, yeah. So you have 20% down on top of your 3 to 6 months emergency fund?
Well, by the time we'd go to buy it, we'd have our 3 months and the 20% to put down.
Gotcha, gotcha. For a 15-year?
Correct.
Okay, all right. It's pretty close to 50-50, but I would lean towards renting for another year.
Okay.
I know that's not what you want to hear, but I know you want to feel stability and you want to feel like you got a home. Here's the reason why. Okay. I just really feel like the market's really high right now. I know real estate brokers hate it when I say that, but there's very few good deals out there, at least what I've seen in most markets. I don't know about all markets, so I'm not sure about Panama City specifically, but I would assume that the inflation's getting pretty good up there or down there. Secondly, I think I would hate for you to, that first year and a half, 2 years, you're getting into all this, going to Home Depot every 3 days, putting money into it. And, you're on the first, couple years of your amortization schedule where you're pretty much paying rent anyway. Very few dollars are going towards your principal. And then you guys are moving in 3 or 4 years. But I know that, this is kind of the reality of the lifestyle, in the industry and what you guys are doing. And I obviously thank him for his service for sure. And you for your service, because there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into that.
Thank you.
But from a financial standpoint, if you're asking me from a financial standpoint, a risk standpoint, I would lean towards renting, but it's pretty close to 50-50.
Would you suggest just renting forever or renting just for the time being till we have more saved and that we could take a bigger risk?
Yeah, Amber, one of the variables I don't know is the word that they're giving them of 4 to 6 years. My hunch just tells me that this won't be 4 to 6 years. And I don't have anything to base that on except for history. I think if they put something in writing, maybe. Another key factor for you guys, since it's so close to 50-50, is if your rent is going to be three times what your mortgage payment would be. I'm just not real big on you paying the insurance and the taxes for a 4-year investment. I just think I'll stick with the renting personally.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever you guys decide, but I think what you've really done well successfully is you're out of consumer debt. You've got savings. I'm assuming you're already investing.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so that's what you've done to win. This is really just two nickels or a dime. Either way, it's 10 cents. But if you want less risk and I think you'll come out slightly ahead, I would stick with renting.
Okay.
All right, but good question.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Amber. Got an email here from Mary. She says, I'm looking for the biblical answer behind knowing where your tithes should go. We've moved three times over the last 5 years. We now have three churches that we feel we should be tithing to. But we've been told that we should be tithing to the church that we are members of. Over the last 4 years, we've been splitting our tithe between two churches. We have now found a new church. Now we're contemplating dividing our tithe between all three churches, but we are not sure that is right. We want to help all three, and we love and feel a connection with all three of them. Can you please help guide us biblically how we make this decision on where we tithe? It really comes down to Malachi 3:10, which I'm pretty sure you know this verse based on, you seem pretty educated on all this, and it says the local storehouse. It doesn't say the local storehouse is. It doesn't say in local. That's local. That's right where you're at. And if you read the Bible holistically, you see the undertone. Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not, and we don't have time to break down all the verses. There is an undertone of commitment to the house, being engaged, being involved, volunteering, using your talents, your skills, and engaging in. And the Bible says also a different context, but same concept about not liking us being lukewarm. We're either all in or we're all out. And so I don't feel like you can adequately be bought into one local church at a full level where you can really be a huge value. When you're spread out among three churches. I personally, because I get around to a lot of churches, I have a huge respect for four or five churches primarily. I have a respect for all of them, but there's four or five that I absolutely love. And if I was in their hometown, I would be at that church. I can guarantee it. However, I tithe at my local storehouse. I tithe at one church. That's where God has called me and my family to attend on a regular basis. Now, there's other ones that I attend online occasionally, but I'm faithfully tithing to the local storehouse. So hopefully that helps you. If you want to give above and beyond, I've done that from time to time, and I'll send a check to some ministries and some churches that I appreciate and that I like, but it's above and beyond my tithe. The tithe is to the local, keyword, local storehouse. Again, that's Malachi chapter 3. All right, folks, it has been a great show, and so glad that you guys are calling in and you are writing in. Don't forget to give us a call if you're interested in leading a Financial Peace University class. Give us a call at 866-357-3283, or you can visit stewardship.com for all the details. Had a thought. Let's start off 2016 by encouraging one another on Facebook, on Twitter, or Instagram. Post your favorite Bible verse to encourage others in the new year. Join and follow the conversation by using the hashtag StartRight2016. Again, hashtag StartRight2016. My favorite verse for the new year is found in Revelation 21:5. Says, and he who was seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. And I really believe that in 2016. Let's leave the past in the past and let's focus on the future. And as you post, I'll be retweeting a few of my favorites that you throw on there on social media. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.